Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek podcast.
Welcome so much to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. I am Aaron O'Brien. Today we have Dave Duncan.
Hey, hey.
And we have Jeff Heller from Film Dumpster, who is returning from our faraway long time episode 175, Time's Arrow, where we talked about Mark Twain.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. I love the show and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, welcome. It was kind of good. You reached out to me a couple weeks, months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And you were saying, hey, I'd love to come on and talk about Picard. I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Do you want to come on for Star Wars too?
I'm happy to do it. You know, it's funny. I've always said there's always the Star Wars versus Star Trek debate. I grew up with Star Wars as an adult. I kind of started leaning towards Star Trek. But I always say that Star Trek it goes to my intellectual side, and Star Wars is my emotional side.
I would say that's probably the best way to put it. Yeah, especially the classic trilogy really goes for the gut with the whole Campbell hero's journey stuff.
Sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
After that, everything kind of falls off. But
everything but we'll falls off.
Jeff, why don't you tell them a little bit about your film dumpster and everything that you do?
Well, thank you. Film Dumpster, we are a film and entertainment website, film reviews, movie reviews, news. We have a podcast. It's a Film Dumpster podcast. A handful of celebrity interviews, some of which have been Star Trek alumni, which has been amazing. Yeah. No Star Wars yet, I don't think. But we're rebranding real soon, which is exciting. More details to come. We are running a contest right now, which we're excited about. If you go over to our Film Dumpster Facebook page, there is an artist named Shad Nowicki who does pop culture paintings, and they're amazing.
Yeah, he's an incredible artist. This cool stuff he comes up with.
And he does live. If you follow him on Facebook, he does live videos of him doing his paintings, and it's phenomenal, the work you're watching him live. But where he did a painting of the baby Yoda, the child, the Mandalorian, which we are giving away. All you have to do is like our page, Film Dumpster, and like and share the post. And we're going to be picking a winner on New Year's Day.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, if you don't know his work, you should check him out. And he is pretty phenomenal. And not just a little bit. Like, he is like a top notch artist.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And
everyone loves Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
We're also giving away. He threw in a free print of. He has got a really cool. Don't Tell Me the Odds Millennium Falcon painting as well from Empire. So that will be thrown in for free as well. So go over to Film Dumpster Facebook page. Check it out.
Awesome. Yeah. And Film Dumpster is filmdumpster.com.
Correct.
And your Twitter is just also Film Dumpster.
That's Film Dumpster as well.
Okay.
We're on the gram, although we've kind of fallen off of the gram for a little bit. The gentleman that used to run it for us has stepped away, so we've been slacking. But our Twitter's actually been increasing. So we have a new business partner we're working with who's handling that. And a lot of cool things coming up for us, so I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, I'm so happy to have you on to talk about this movie. The Star Wars franchise has been embattled since The Last Jedi, and maybe even before that, I don't know. But Last Jedi brought brought just everything to a head, and everybody and everyone went to full alert. And this is where it all ends. This trilogy, the rise of Skywalker. We're going to do a quick about 10 minutes, spoiler free. So we're not going to talk about anything specific. So if you haven't seen the movie or you're and you want to wait, obviously you can listen for a little bit, and then we'll tell you when we're going to get into spoilers. But Jeff, since you are our guest, I would love to hear your thoughts on just non-spoiler, just your first reactions.
Well, I'm not going to. I loved it. It was not without its flaws. You know, there's been a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people reviewing it who have been very nitpicky, and some of the things they've said have been accurate. It's a lot of story. There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on
to a fault. I have a feeling that Abrams was trying to make up for the fact that Johnson kind of screwed over his planned storyline he had for 8 and 9.
Yeah.
And was cramming both films into one.
It's sort of the Superman movie and the Superman 2.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. Two. By the end of the first act, I was like, I feel like I've watched an entire film already.
Yeah.
It did feel a lot like that. I agree.
Yeah. And it didn't bother. Like halfway through the movie, I commented to my brother-in-law who I was with. I'm like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah,
I know, but I'm like, at the same time, I can't fault Abrams for Johnson's, you know, mistakes for Last Jedi, which is kind of what this was. This was making up for it. So, but I loved it. I was happy with how they wrapped everything up. There was a lot of fan service. Then I was more than okay with it.
People are really complaining about the fan service. I'm like, what did you? I mean, this isn't a David Lynch film. What are we talking about?
And it's the ninth film, and after 40 years, what do you? I want that. I want fan service.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I don't want to be left cold and being like, episode of Twin Peaks: The Return, where you don't get any answers whatsoever. Dave, what about yourself?
This was miles better than The Last Jedi, but I didn't hate this movie like I did The Last Jedi, but this movie seems handicapped significantly because of The Last Jedi.
Right. Mm-hmm. 100%.
And like what you were saying, that he was like basically trying to fit two movies into one. I just really wish they would have like re-canonized episode 8 to be episode 7.5. And then they could have done an actual episode 8 and episode 9, because it's a little bit too busy for my liking. It just, he was trying to fit way too much in the movie, and he had to. And this is one of the things I said last year when we talked about, or 2 years ago, when we talked about The Last Jedi initially. It's just like, so little plot happened in the first two movies. He's got to do a trilogy's worth of plot in one movie, and it's just going to be a mess. And it was a lot less of a mess than I thought it'd be, but it's still like, I mean, like, I'm not as satisfied with the ending, because the whole movie was rushed, because there's just no time to play, and they didn't feel like reshuffling the titles of the movies to give them more time, which they really should have, and there's no reason they couldn't have.
Well, trilogies, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, financial aside, they could have made this two movies.
They could have, yeah.
They could have. I mean, they could have, you know, just said episode 8 was episode 7.5. Just like, I don't know.
They did with the Hobbit. You
exactly.
Know,
like, the Hobbit, was supposed to be
two movies, and then they turned it into three, which was a huge mistake.
Yes. Like, yeah. I think of Avengers Endgame. Endgame, to me, should have been two films. Not because of the length, because I didn't have a problem with the length. There's just a lot happened in it. Mm-hmm. It could have easily been broken up into two films. Same thing here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And speaking of Endgame, the end of this movie felt like it was like copy-pasted from Endgame a little bit. Not exactly, but just one part I'll highlight when we get into actual spoilers that made me think Endgame really hard. I was like, huh. How about you, Aaron?
I thought everything worked as well as it could. I agree, a lot happened in this movie. But you know what? Compared to Last Jedi, where the pacing crawled for me, like, I was just like, when is something going to fucking happen in this fucking movie? I mean, I felt like this is a Star Wars movie. It's not like a thinking film.
It did feel more like Star Wars.
Like you jump to the very much so. Jump to the next thing, and let's and this what these characters are doing, and that's what this guy's doing, and then what's Ray doing? You know, so you're jumping back and forth. I love that. I mean, it felt more like an Empire or something to me, where you're jumping back and forth as quick as possible.
It felt way more like Star Wars. I definitely agree. It felt more like Star Wars than even the Force Awakens. And there was a little bit more charm to this one, and the characters got to act for the first time in this trilogy, which is like mind-boggling to me that you're finally letting your actors do something.
And again, not to get spoilers, but we also got to see them really interact with each other, which we didn't see that a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I realized during The Last Jedi, it was about halfway through the film when Rey and Poe meet each other, and I realized, oh my god, they haven't even met each other yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, this was we finally got the three of them together for a good chunk of a film, which is what we were kind of waiting for, I think.
And then we actually 3PO had more lines in the first 30 minutes of this than he did in the entire last two films combined.
maybe all of the movies.
God, I never realized how much I missed 3PO until this movie, and I was like, wow, like this is refreshing, because 3PO humor works in Star Wars. Poe Dameron on a phone call pretending to be prank calling someone does not work in Star Wars.
It worked for a second, but then it got old. But
it got old real quick, and it dragged on for way longer than a second.
I enjoyed everything what was thrown out there. As for fan service, and some people are really pissed off that maybe like they're just catering to people. I'm like, dude, this is my takeaway at the very end of all this. It's fucking Disney, people. They're here to make money. They're not here to make art films, and they don't want to divide their fan base. They just want people to be like, yes, I like that movie, and I'll go see the next movie, and I will buy swag and merchandise based off these movies.
Just give it 15-20 years. They'll do a live-action remake of all the Star Wars movies, like they're doing with The Lion King and Aladdin.
Well, not to mention, these films have always supposed to have always been for kids, really. I mean, I'm a big kid. I'm fine with it. That's why the prequels didn't work, in my opinion, as an umbrella statement, is that they were about trade embargoes. You know, I mean, they weren't...
And space politics.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't written for kids. They were marketed to kids, but they weren't written for kids by any stretch.
I really felt that Lucas was doing a whole thing.
I don't think they were marketed to anyone.
I think Lucas was doing a whole, a movie about the Bush administration, you know, at that time. It definitely wasn't, and it was so clunky.
I just don't know who Lucas's target audience was with the prequel trilogy.
But as I've said before, I mean, we're all older, but there are people who grew up with the prequels, and they prefer them
over the originals.
It's funny you say that. I did I threw out a poll on Film Dumpster's Facebook page like 2 months ago, asking if you had to show a newbie the films up to this point, how would you show them in order? Would you show them in chronological order or by order of release date? And it was literally split down the middle. And I looked at the demographics for the people that voted, and it was anyone that voted for chronological order was a younger. And all the people said by release were all older. So it's what you grew up with.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
And the people who liked The Last Jedi bestest of all somehow.
Of course they will.
I don't understand that, but there will be people.
Well, let's get into full spoilers. If you have not seen The Rise of Skywalker, you can turn off the podcast if you don't mind listening to spoilers and you just want to hear our take on everything and listen to our gripes and our joys. Keep listening, or if you've seen it, keep on listening anyways.
Enjoy the ride, people.
Enjoy the ride, people. So we had the release date in December 20th in the United States for this movie. And the budget says from $250 to $300 million. And so far as of December 22nd, we are at, last I see, $373.5 million for box office. So it's obviously made up the money, and it'll probably do even better over the Christmas and New Year's.
It seems kind of low, though, for Star Wars.
It is. It didn't open as big as Last Jedi, as far as I know.
Oh, I think you know, Last Jedi did a lot of ill will toward the community, yeah. And I mean, Star Wars is never going to lose money, I don't think. I mean, except with Solo, but I don't think anyone asked for that. But the main numbers probably won't lose money, but I there's definitely a downward trend on the money they're making, it looks like, for opening weekend.
Yeah, and as for Rotten Tomatoes, if that you give that any credence whatsoever, I don't know if you guys do or not, but it seems like the audience score has it at 86%, and the tomato meter is at 57%. So,
which is
from critics,
almost exactly the opposite of what The Last Jedi has,
right.
Where the critics loved it and the fans were screamingly divided on it.
Yeah.
You know, I find myself, I consider myself, you know, I'm a critic, but I'm a fanboy. So, I find these numbers to be baffling.
Rotten Tomatoes is a hard one to go by because it is basically how Dave says. It's like, you know, the fans will love it, but then the critics will be like, this is not a proper movie, and blah, 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 you know. And then years later, it'll be applauded like, oh, this is a great album or a great, movie or great, you know, whatever, TV series where people poo-pooed it. The critics all poo-pooed it, and later they'll be like, oh, I guess it was pretty good, you know, so... Sometimes critics can be a little bit too critical, I guess. But getting into we'll do a quick recap of the movie, and we can talk about what we liked or disliked. We get Kylo Ren searching for a Sith Wayfinder, and he gets leads him to the planet Exegol, or is it Exegol? Exegol.
Exegol. Like a seagull.
Where he finds we find Palpatine is alive, and we also see that Snoke was created by Palpatine. We see some Snokes in some like cloning vats.
Snoke clones.
So Snoke clones.
Not to be confused with snow cones.
Yes, a little bit different.
The gooey center's a lot different.
So Kylo, obviously Kylo Ren wants to destroy Palpatine because he's like, I'm the ruler of the First Order. And this one, Palpatine says, I can give you a lot more than just my good advice. I can give you a whole fleet of Star Destroyers. And we have like thousands or at least quite a few hundreds Star Destroyers just rise from the ground of Exegol. So I thought that was... great looking, but like how did you do that?
Yeah,
why did you build your ships in ice?
and I mean, I get that maybe like it took him 20 years to build all that, but holy shit.
But the thing is, not only did he build that, he also built the First Order and let that run, because he was pulling the strings all along. So he built two separate fleets in presumably Starkiller Base and was keeping it a secret,
I guess. I don't know. You know, Star Wars.
You know, science. Star Wars.
Science. Star Wars.
So much science.
So then we get to find Rey is, or actually, what was it? The crew of the Millennium Falcon with Finn and Poe, they track down, there's like a spy, and they get some information from them, and they have this huge chase where they're jumping, hyperspace jumping. It was fun. I don't know if it was really needed, but I guess it's just a fun to see them in action. You know, I don't know if it did anything for you, yes or no, but
yeah, you know, I'm not an expert in some of the extended universe stuff, so I can't say I've ever seen anything of this nature. I don't know if it has existed before. It was fun to watch. Again, yeah. I was like, okay, this is new. But again, that soon into the film, there's no, you know, nothing's bad's going to happen to him.
Right, and not just that, but like, is that scene even really needed?
Right,
you know, just say we found a spy. We have a spy working for us. You know,
well, considering it's not a Chekhov's gun, it's not needed at all. They never referenced the hyperspeed skipping the rest of the movie, so it's not like it helped them win at the end, or you know.
I did think they were going to jump back into that or something, but I guess not.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, if it was a Chekhov's gun, bravo, but it didn't go anywhere. So honestly, it wasn't needed. I mean, it looked cool, but
it was cool. It was a fun. It was a fun sequence. And we find Rey. She is training on a planet with the Resistance with General Leia.
I mean, General Cutout.
And General And General Leia is her Jedi Master. So I thought that was actually, for once, I was like, thank you, that works.
Right.
And I was very happy about that.
I was really impressed with how well they incorporated her existing dialogue into the script. She didn't talk very long. You can tell it was stitched together.
Right.
But it was stitched together well.
Carrie Fisher's brother gave them explicit permission to just CG her like they did with Tarkin in Rogue One. And they just did it with Tarkin in Rogue One. I don't know why they decided to not go that route. Because, I mean, if they're using some of her existing dialogue and they cut a couple, and they CG'd her anyway at a later part in the movie.
Right. Yeah,
anyway, so why not just
I bet you they did a lot more than we think they did.
And I bet you they also probably thought less is more. Like, why push the envelope when we can make it as believable?
Yeah.
You know, why give the audience a reason to hate on it?
I don't know. Every time she was on screen, it really pulled me out, because it felt like she was like responding to things not exactly normal, like for the situation. I don't know. Like
it didn't do that for me at all. I thought it was fine. I was fine with it, and I liked the idea that Leia was Rey's master, teaching her what she knows of the Force. If she, I don't know if technically Leia's a Jedi, but you know, she has training through Luke and whoever else. So
I imagine the original script prior to her death dealt with that on a much more detailed level, I would hope, at least.
Probably. Yeah. And I mean, I have no problem with Leia being her master. That would be great. I mean, I want to see more female Jedi and actually doing more Jedi things. I just didn't care for, I don't know, she just felt out of place to me. Like, some of her reactions felt stiff or not as emotional, or it just, I don't know, some of the things just felt kind of odd to me.
To be fair, Carrie Fisher's faces look like it's all been Botox. So, since, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's how people do in Hollywood. So we get the return of Finn and Poe and Chewie, and we find out that that the spy has told them that the Palpatine's returned, and he's got a new fleet for Kylo Ren, and it's called, instead of the First Order, the Final Order.
What happened to the Middle Order?
They skipped right over that.
God damn it!
And they're going to just start blowing planets up. And they have basically planet blowing up technology on their Star Destroyers.
It's about time Star Destroyers are sort of able to do what they're called.
Yeah, right. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. They have to find out the Sith Wayfinder to get to the Exegol. That's where the fleet is currently, and it's still being prepared to take off and leave the planet. And Exegol is a Sith world. So they have to go to the Sith world, but they need to find, because it's hidden, they need to find the Sith Wayfinder that Kylo Ren found. I guess there's only one other one that's in existence that Luke Skywalker was looking for beforehand. And this is where Rey's like, Luke was following a trail, but the trail went cold, and we have to go pick up on this. And so they go to this planet, Pacinda, and they come to this like big celebration when they get there. And while they're going through that, they bump into Lando Calrissian.
By the way, it makes sense to me that Lando would be a Burning Man.
He's wearing too much clothes to be a Burning Man.
That's true. But they also, during this festival that they go on this planet, Rey encounters again that force connection between her and Kylo Ren, and
this time he can bring real objects with them.
Well, they do touch, I believe, in the Last Jedi.
They did briefly, but now they can actually teleport objects via this force connection. Yeah. Luke didn't even bring anything real with him, and he died doing this.
Right.
Why haven't they died before the end of this movie,
Luke? The whole resistance is in this salt mine cave. Could you bring some lasagna at least with you? Jesus.
Bring some. All I got is blue milk. I mean, green milk. From the fat things that sit on the rocks.
This is disgusting.
I got green milk on the rocks, straight from the titty.
God. That's just another reason why that movie's got problems. It had no place in that movie whatsoever. Anyways.
Bring you some Borgs so you can microwave them. They'll pop.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah. So moving forward, Kylo figures out where they are by figuring out that necklace that Rey had, and so the Knights of Ren come into action. So this is the first time we see the Knights of Ren
since the flashback in the preview of Episode 7.
Right, exactly. So Knights of Ren come in, and they are being then chased. They don't go back to the Falcon. They're trying to track down this ship that was supposed to have the person that was looking for the Sith Wayfinder. And so while they fight some stormtroopers with jetpacks, which was okay. It was fun, right? Chase scene. Fun.
Yeah, it was fun. They fly now, apparently, though.
And, yeah, it just proves that jetpacks probably aren't always the best thing to be flying around on.
Well, no, I mean, both Boba and Jango Fett were killed because of how shitty their jetpacks were.
Yeah. I guess that just goes to show that the Rocketeer probably might not have worked out in the Star Wars universe. Well, from there, they track down this ship that they're looking for, but while they're getting there, they fall down some quicksand, gravel sand?
Some silt. I don't know what you...
And they fall into this old cave where they find a dagger that has the inscription of the coordinates of Exegol, but this is where they find a giant, sandworm, and it's wounded, and Rey decides that she's going to force heal it. I heard a lot of people complain about the force healing thing, but this has been something that's been in
In video games for forever.
Yeah,
it's been
video games and role playing games as well. Yeah,
and I wonder if it's not coincidence that they. I mean, I don't know how canon that stuff is now, but it was on the fourth episode of the Mandalorian,
yeah.
Or the second episode is when.
Baby Yoda was trying.
Baby Yoda's trying to do it.
I don't think he actually did it. I think he was just trying.
No, he did. He ended up healing. It was like two episodes later he did. Which I'm just wondering if it was not coincidence that they timed the release to foreshadow that so that it wasn't completely out of the blue.
Yeah. For longtime fans of anything outside the movies, I think force healing was always part of the thing.
Right. Always part of the video games if you were playing a light side character. You couldn't do that as a dark side character.
Yeah. But yeah, it is funny because the role playing game, the actual D&D version tabletop, there was force healing, but electrical discharge, like the Emperor does,
right?
That was something only the dark side could do. Yeah. So they find the dagger. C-3PO can read the dagger, but apparently he can't
repeat it.
Can't repeat it because it's Sith, so he can't repeat Sith.
It's like the language of the Dark Lord of Sauron. I can't say that out loud.
That's exactly.
I'll say it in the simple tongue, though. Just ask him to speak it in English instead of in the Sith language. That'd be fine. So Anakin created C-3PO. So little six-year-old Anakin decided to build in something where you can't speak Sith language? Where you can't,
it was say it out loud? It was preloaded.
It was like the prefab he got.
It was the factory default setting for the hard drive he bought.
Yeah, because everyone knows about the Sith, and there's we'll just put that on silent mode.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. It would make more sense if he didn't understand it at all.
Right.
And they had to do something to make him understand it.
So Rey heals the sandworm, and sandworm kind of moves away from the group, but then opens a hole through this underground cave. They can leave, and they get to the ship. And while they're trying to get this old, clunky old ship working, Rey walks out because she feels something. She's not sure what it is.
Diarrhea.
But she has severe diarrhea. It's not diarrhea, but it's actually something a lot worse. It's Kylo Ren flying in his TIE fighter towards her. And this is where we get the whole sequence of
the original trailer.
Right. Taking out the TIE fighter with their lightsaber, which, gotta admit, it was kick-ass. I loved that scene. It was a great scene.
And then it explodes, and Kylo Ren is just fine.
Has airbags.
That was a pretty big explosion.
He's got roll bars. He's fine.
Roll bars, airbags.
What about the fire?
It's the future. He's Force. He's got a Force shield.
And then Chewie gets abducted.
Chewie gets abducted by Knights of Ren, and when Poe sees, not Poe, Finn sees that Chewie was taken, he tries to
warn Rey.
And Rey sees a transport flying away, and she uses the Force to stop it. Kylo Ren comes out of the wreckage, and they have just like that lightsaber battle that they had trying to grab the lightsaber in Last Jedi. Now we've gone to a full ship transport where they're fighting over it.
I really wanted the ship just to tear in two like the lightsaber did.
Well, instead of that, unfortunately, Rey shoots electrical bolts like the Emperor out of her hand.
And murders Chewbacca in cold blood.
And everybody else on the ship, for that matter. So
they're not important.
Obviously, they're all shaken by this. And she, there's more ships coming to take them out. So they got to get on their ship. So they take off as fast as they can from there. But Rey is completely shaken in believing that she killed Chewie at that time. So Chewbacca is presumed dead. So while they are they fly away, they're kind of hidden in some asteroid belt. They decide they're going to go to this other planet where there's a Pondos, somebody who can work on droids, and this is where they can extract the information out of C-3PO's memory, because the dagger was taken with Chewbacca.
And the dagger done blowed up, so they need to get it off of his member banks.
Yeah, exactly. So they go to this planet, which is under... what do you want to call it?
First order rule.
Yeah, first order is all over, and they're busting down doors.
Abducting
everywhere.
Children because they need more children to be Finn.
Yes, yes, more soldiers, more stormtroopers. That's why they always miss.
They should just go to Kamino and get them made.
Yeah.
Because Finn did not work out, and apparently lots of other ones don't work out. Clones seem
right.
to work.
What
way
are they
better.
Doing wrong now with their training that there's so many defectors?
Yeah, I know. They're not
That's
training
lots well. Of defectors in this film.
It seems like the First Order is a bit slapdash, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's really up to it, you know? So while they're on
Except
this planet...
Except for Captain Phasma, who does not make an appearance in this movie.
Well, she's dead.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, a lot of people are dead.
She basically should have died in the first one, but she came back somehow in the second one.
Well, anywho, they find the Well, they're on this planet. They run into one of Poe's old girlfriends, Zori Bliss.
I thought he was gay, or that's what Robbie was saying.
I don't know. So
maybe she's got a dick. Maybe she's trans.
She could be. We don't know. Do we ever see her full face?
Only see her eyes.
No, just her eyes. Which, you know, I tend to believe that this storyline was. I'm wondering. I bet you they actually shot a lot more with her. Because they didn't need Keri Russell in this role at all, because they didn't need anyone of note at all to play this character, because she's in it for like 5 minutes, and to see her eyes for like a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good point. They have a little standoff, and they find out that Poe used to be a spice runner, so apparently he
is Han Solo.
Or he went to Arrakis. Either way.
He's good at making that Kessel run.
Exactly. So they kind of make up, and they go to this droid mechanic, or whatever you want to call him, programmer, and they get C-3PO's all jacked up or jacked in to get into his memory. Rey has a vision about her parents and being killed through that whole thing. So, and
from the Sith dagger, kind of gave her like a screenshot of, because the right. dagger killed her parents.
I guess it did, yeah. And she felt it, or she could see it, sort of with it.
Yeah.
And Kylo and Rey are in contact with each other again. Through this whole thing, so they're talking back and forth through time and space, and she knows that Chewbacca is alive up on this planet, or up on the Star Destroyer that's flown in over the planet they're on.
By the way, I like how they handle the two of them being able to see each other or hear each other. Is that the one can see the other one in their environment and vice versa?
You're right.
I thought it was a really neat way, and it was for storyline wise, it was a good way to keep them from knowing where each other was by having, you know, the elements of their other, you know, where they are coming, like the necklace, and, you know, I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah, no, I thought it was, I liked it too. I liked that it was still used from Last Jedi, and it was integrated into this. Because, like, I think before Snoke said that he was orchestrating that, but which led me to believe that it was a connection between them, but maybe Snoke just made the connection for them.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, they do say that they're dyads, and they do have a special connection, which probably leads to some of their force powers later on in the movie.
Right.
Maybe?
There's a really Harry Potter kind of vibe to them, which I thought was kind of neat, actually.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So they decide they're going to go up to the Star Destroyer to get to rescue Chewie, and Zori Bliss has some, like, I don't know, like some weird token ship that gives you a free pass, like a free ride.
It's the get a jail free card in the Monopoly game.
So I don't. That didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I was like, okay, let's just go with it. And so they get up onto the Star Destroyer to rescue Chewie, and obviously they got the information from 3PO at that point. They get up there and they have to. It's sort of like, you know, New Hope, where they get onto the. Onto the Death Star. They have to blast their way through, and Poe and Finn go to rescue Chewie, where Rey feels that she has to go take care of something else and find the dagger. And when she goes to find the dagger that Kylo Ren has in his, whatever you want, his personal room, sees
Chewie's stuff is there too.
Chewie's stuff's there, and Darth Vader head's there, helmet's there, whatever you want to say, severed head, I don't know. And this is where she has another connection with Kylo Ren, and this is where Kylo Ren tells her that she is Palpatine's granddaughter, and they have a lightsaber fight, and this is where Kylo Ren realizes that she's on his ship, and so he locks down the ship, and they have to try to escape. And this is when we find out with Poe and Finn and Chewie, they're captured, and later on Hux, we find General Hux is the actual spy.
Gee golly whiz.
Why are you spying? He says, I don't want you guys to win, I just want Kylo Ren to lose. So okay. You know, simple as that. And he gets to escape. They get to escape on the Falcon before they're killed killed by stormtroopers. And but unfortunately, General Hux is discovered, and he was just killed immediately. So,
shot in the gut, like a Weasley.
We have a great little scene. We have a great scene where Rey jumps off the out of the cargo bay and onto the Millennium Falcon at the last minute when she's surrounded by stormtroopers and Kylo Ren. So, I thought that was cool too. Last little way to jump.
Neat off. Little jump sequence, yeah.
What did that remind me of? Something else.
Something. Feature 2.
Yes.
That's my first thought.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Marty jumps off the... He's at the top of Biff's pleasure palace and
right.
Lands on the DeLorean. That's what I thought of, at least.
There's a couple of scenes like throughout movies, but yeah, I thought that was great. Yeah, that last little, like, just like, yeah.
Right.
You thought you had me, but... So this is where the group goes to the moon. Is it the moon on Endor, right? Where the second Death Star was blown up. Yeah. And they run into a group of former stormtroopers.
Yes, a whole bunch of other deserters.
And they decide the oceans, that's where the Death Star is the water's just too, you know, the waves are too big. And they decide they're going to wait till the next day, but Rey just steals one of their sail ships or whatever you want to call it, and goes over to the wreck of the Death Star to find the Wayfinder. And we go to the Emperor's old throne room, which I thought was amazing. And if that's fan service, I don't give a fuck.
I agree. It was the whole sequence, the
music,
everything about it was well designed. I thought it was great.
I loved it. And she goes into this hallway where she's going to get the Wayfinder, where she finds a version of herself. So it's like Luke going into the cave on Dagobah and coming and seeing Vader. That same idea, like, you know, seeing himself through the mask. I love that, seeing the dark side of her dark side version, where she has a lightsaber with two blades on it.
Right. I liked it, but I kind of felt as if it was thrown in for the sole purpose of putting it in the trailer.
I agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, because they didn't do much with the scene. It's over almost as quick as it starts. She just freaks out, then it's gone. And then the Wayfinder she gets is immediately destroyed by Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren shows up. He's there.
I thought he was there as a ghost or just like a Force vision again, because they did not make that very clear until like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
He followed her. He followed her for sure. And there was this great lightsaber battle between them on the wreck of the Death Star. And
I thought that was a really weird fight, because like two-thirds of the way through the fight, she starts taking an obviously extremely weak stance and with the lightsaber. I'm like, why are you putting yourself at an obvious disadvantage the way you're holding this thing?
So you're saying that she's not a good sword fighter?
No, it was just really weird. Like, she started holding it like backwards, and then like not even like covering her head. She was holding it really low, like she was trying to use like a knife, not like a sword. It was very strange.
Well, so I liked the fight. I thought it was fun to watch, and
it was cool. It just took me out because it seemed like she went into a very mechanically disadvantaged position with it.
And during the fight, she Leia decides that she's going to reach out to her son one more time.
I've got a theory about this, but I don't want to talk about it yet.
So she goes out to reach out to her son, Kylo Ren, and at this moment, he's kind of like drawn away during the battle for a moment, and Rey doesn't hesitate and just stabs him, and we think, oh, this is it. Kylo Ren's dead. And
thank goodness, die, bitch.
And this is where we find out why she healed that snake on that other planet, because she used the Force healings to save Kylo Ren. So she feels herself. She feels that she's some kind of compassion for Kylo Ren. So she takes the Wayfinder and Kylo Ren's TIE fighter. And goes off to Luke's, whatever you want to call it, distant island on that Octu planet.
Yeah.
And she runs into the Force spirit of, Force ghost of Luke. And she's doing kind of the same thing that Luke did. I'm just going to hide away. I don't trust myself. I'm scared. What I'm going to become, or something like that. Because of all the things that she's seen, that she kind of leans towards the dark side. So she's really afraid of what she's capable of. And she even goes to throw the lightsaber, and who catches it is the ghost of Luke. So instead of throwing it over his shoulder, we saw in Last Jedi, he does the exact opposite and catches it and says, you shouldn't throw your lightsaber away.
It's so, like, you should treat this with reverence. And I'm like, oh, like you didn't last time?
Right.
Right. So that is probably maybe the biggest slap.
Slap to Rian Johnson.
Oh, 100%.
And then we have a nice talk between the two, and basically saying that, you know, I was scared, and that's why I was living on this island.
And he said, I was wrong, which is like another big slap to Rian Johnson.
But he kind of, Luke did realize he was wrong at some point and decided to jump into that fight with Kylo Ren at the end of Last Jedi. So he did redeem himself somewhat, even though he's being a crotch bag through most of Last Jedi. So,
stupid Rian Johnson. Still haven't forgiven you for the death of my son. I mean, Star Wars and Luke.
So she gives her a pep talk, and then finally, another fan service moment. Force Luke lifts the X-Wing fighter out of the ocean.
You know what would be great? If Luke couldn't do it and Ghost Yoda had to do it for him.
Move over.
Good, let me do this. I got it.
That would be funny. I loved it. I thought it was like, yes, circle is now complete.
Right.
You know, thing. So I thought it was perfect. So back at Endor, we get a Kylo Ren kind of like, is, you know, kind of fully healed, but obviously he's alone on the wreck of this Death Star. And who shows up as a memory is Han Solo's father.
And they have a talk. I'll be honest with you. I was surprised, not from a story standpoint, but from the fact that Harrison Ford
hates Han Solo.
I thought
so
he kind
much.
Of wiped his hand. This is the whole thing. Yeah, I was happy to. I was really happy.
He
to
must
see
have
it.
Had a really big paycheck for that 5 seconds mm-hmm. he was on film.
I thought, yeah, probably, but I think he did very well, and it conveyed exactly what we were looking for. Is that Han Solo is like, you know, just stop being an asshole.
Nice.
Be Ben Solo again. So he throws away his lightsaber and decides he's going to go after and help Rey. And Rey obviously takes Luke's X-Wing and goes off to face Palpatine.
She gets the Wayfinder from the wreckage of the TIE Fighter.
Which I didn't say that she burned his TIE Fighter. But anyways.
Good thing Wayfinders are fire retardant.
But we don't know how Kylo Ren or Ben Solo gets off Endor. It's not really told how that happened.
That's true.
But
I hadn't even thought about that.
Just figure he has some kind of probably.
He probably just called the First Order and got a new TIE Fighter. Because he lands another TIE Fighter at the end of the movie. So he just calls the Force Order, like, give me another. I'm sure his ship is in orbit. He just probably called him.
He called OnStar. They gave him a rental.
Yeah, because it wasn't a fancy TIE fighter. It was kind of one of those like Ford sedan TIE fighters.
It was. It wasn't the fancy one. It was the typical one. Also, I don't think I mentioned though when Leia reached out to Ben or Kylo Ren, she passed at that point, so she died. So calling to her son. So.
It was nice. It was a nice moment too, because R2 was there, which was kind of a neat.
Yeah,
just a nice moment.
It'd be funny if he took a video of that too.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
And that here she's dead.
Super cut of her life.
So Rey transmits through the Wayfinder the special path to get to Exegol, because there's a special route to get through like the insane nebula around it and stuff like that. So. The resistance all takes off and says, hey, we'll all try to take down this the fleet because they can't leave yet. They have to use these special like transmission units that we're going to take out. So it'll cripple the fleet and they can't leave Exegol. And meanwhile, Lando is going to take the Millennium Falcon and try to get people to come help.
Raise the flag. Fight. The British are coming. The Last Order is coming.
He's the Paul Revere of
Star Wars land.
So, the resistant fleet gets into Exegol, and we have this huge fight with the ships and trying to take down the towers. I think it's a lot of fun. There's a lot going on, and then Rey goes to confront Palpatine. Palpatine is in his throne room, and Palpatine basically says, all you got to do is kill me and all the Sith memories will be transferred into you and you will be the next you'll be the Empress, basically.
You'll be the Empress.
So she resists and there's high drama, as let's just put it as that way. And this is where Ben Solo shows up. He has to fight the Knights of Ren, but he doesn't have a lightsaber, unfortunately.
So she force teleports a lightsaber to him.
She does force teleport a lightsaber, which she was given. Leia's lightsaber, and she has Luke's old lightsaber, so she's got two lightsabers. And this is and they both start. They fight together. Ben and Rey against the Emperor, but the Emperor takes their life forces away.
But doesn't kill them somehow.
And then the Emperor uses his electrical powers to disable the fleet, and they all start falling, but they fall very slowly.
First, he throws Kylo Ren into a hole because he fell into a hole once, and he didn't like being thrown into a hole.
Yeah.
But, he doesn't like the hot dog down a hallway thing.
Who are all the people that were there?
Were they just cultists, I guess.
Were they worshiping? I mean, because obviously they weren't Sith, because he was the last one, according to him.
I was wondering if they were, the ghost of old Siths.
That could be.
Could be, but also might have just been,
See them. We see some weird creatures working on some equipment in the very beginning, but that's about it.
They're probably more the Zacolytes that just, like, maintain all the crappy-looking stuff.
Can we make this place look dank and gross?
We're going to make it look dank, like all the dank memes. The dankest.
The dankest of all throne rooms. And, so, yeah, he shoots up this force lightning bolts, and the whole rebel fleet's all, like, decommissioned and falling from the sky, but somehow none of them crash.
The only one that crashes and dies is the fat teleport guy from Heroes. He died. I was
yes.
That. Well, I think more people died than that, but
yeah, he was the only one I cared about.
He's only notable, yeah.
Because I like
he also died in the pilot episode of Lost.
Poor guy. Did
he? Yeah, he was a pilot of the plane.
Well, actually,
he got killed by a smoke monster in the first episode.
Oh. Kaylee and I watched Sister Act last night, and Max Grodinchek, aka Rom, he dies in the first 5 minutes of Sister Act.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Rom.
It's weird thinking of you watching Sister Act. Anyways, so at that last point, Ray obviously comes back to fight with Ben, and they take down the Palpatine, and when the resistance looked like that was it for them, Lando shows up with a zillion ships.
This is the Doctor Strange moment I was alluding to.
And they all come in and they blow up the rest of the fleet that are all just sitting there, sitting ducks. And so they basically win. And
She kills Palpatine by reflecting his force lightning back, but somehow she doesn't inherit all the Sith.
I was wondering the same thing. That's why I thought Kylo was going to be the one to kill him, to avoid that plot hole.
Well, maybe you have to do it a certain way. I don't know.
He was non-specific as to how he would had to die.
Well, but Rey dies, and Ben uses that force thing to bring her back. And so she lives, she's resurrected, and they kiss, and then Ben dies. And he vanishes into the force.
That was one of the few things about the film I was not super crazy about, because their relationship to me was, I think also because leading up to this, we weren't sure if they were related, because there was speculation that she might have been a Skywalker.
That's what a lot of people felt, yeah.
So I was like, it seemed, even after finding out that she wasn't, it seemed a little incestuous. Not that this franchise isn't familiar with that, but...
Right.
It is incestuous, because Palpatine used the Force to knock up Shmish Skywalker, so they are technically cousins. So we need that Ron Howard edit where it's like, and they were cousins, just like,
like maybe,
just like in Arrested Development.
Yeah. I just wasn't. I think the relationship really supported that at all. Leading up to this, they had a connection, but not romantic.
It was never romantic.
Honestly, though, Jeff, I felt like they were trying to allude to it slightly in Last Jedi. And even in Force Awakens, slightly, but it just felt uncomfortable.
I agree. Yeah.
It was weird. They're definitely cousins. And I can make this scene even creepier. Okay, so Leia, when Ben disappears, Leia also disappears. So technically, Leia was possessing Ben from the moment she distracts him until now, because she's able to teach him, I guess, his corpse, the Force Ghost ability. So technically, Rey's kissing her aunt, and it's the first lesbian kiss on screen.
Because it actually predates the one like 5 minutes later.
Exactly. This is the first lesbian. So there's two lesbian kisses in Star Wars, even though the shell was a man.
So you're going with my ghost theory that Patrick Swayze kissing Demi Moore is actually Whoopi Goldberg's kissing Demi Moore.
Exactly. But it's like cousins kissing, and then it's like aunt and niece kissing. Because her body disappears. Why when his is? So there's some kind of possession going on there.
I think there's a whole like X video group of videos that you can watch online about that.
Yeah, right.
What was I going to say? The war is over. First Order has fallen. The Final Order is over, and there's a big celebration back of their planet. So everyone's happy, of course. And Ewoks are there for some reason. I don't know.
They actually got Warwick Davis to play the role, which is cool.
They're like, get back in the costume.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it.
Here's $1 million.
I'd rather be the leprechaun in the hood, too.
And then we see that Rey goes back to Luke Skywalker's old Tatooine place, the moisture farm, and she drops the...
buries Luke and Leia's
yeah, there are lightsabers there, and some old lady is like, nobody's been here for years, what's your name? And she decides to take up the name Skywalker. She says, I am Rey Skywalker.
It's a wonder the Jawas didn't keep that place clean.
Fuel to the incestuous fire, too.
Yeah, it's all weird. Movie wraps up, and there we go. Jeff, what do you think about The Rise of Skywalker? What is your thoughts of this whole crazy, crazy movie?
You know, it's funny because I was looking forward to going, literally when I was in the parking lot walking into the theater to see it, I thought to myself, I'm more looking forward to seeing the seventh episode of Mandalorian than I am this. And I was still pleasantly surprised. I really enjoyed it. Again, it has its faults, it has its flaws, it's contrived at points, but I was happy with it. I felt like a little kid. There were so many moments, like when Chewie got his medal, I was like, ah! Look, he got his medal.
I know. It felt a little silly, but I was like,
super
all right.
Forced. I didn't care, though. I just didn't care. Most of the flaws with it, I was well aware of them, but I just didn't care.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I mean, even Luke lifting the X-Wing up, same thing, you know. Chewie gets the medal.
Yeah. You know. My question is this. Now, the way the Force works is it has to be balanced. There always has to be balance. But if all the Sith are gone now, is she the balance? Because she's technically a Sith and a Jedi?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Maybe she is. Yeah, maybe she's in between both.
Right.
It's hard to say.
Maybe she's finally the gray Jedi that can channel both. I mean, that's kind of all I've ever really wanted from Star Wars, to have someone that works both of them.
I know, but you know, it's like this. It's like, you know, fire is hot, ice is cold. Do you really want a movie about slush or like something slightly warm?
Why not?
Let's do a movie about slush.
I mean, The Last Jedi was slush. I mean, might as well, right?
Yeah, it might have been more shitty slush, but...
Ooh, diarrhea.
I don't know. There's definitely issues with this movie for sure. And like you said before, they try to jam as much into this movie as possible. But it doesn't, there's nothing about it that makes me go like, I had a friend say there's too much going on in this movie. I'm like, yeah, but who cares? It's fucking Star Wars.
Right.
Like, I said with, you know, The Last Jedi, it's like, we're not watching an episode of Doctor Who or Star Trek Voyager. I mean, like, this is like Star Wars. It's supposed to be like boom, 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 shit's happening. You know, we don't waste a breath on, you know, faraway looks or, you know, I don't know. It's not too often. It's mostly things are moving pretty quickly. So
how do you feel about that? Bob Iger has come out and said that they, you know, they plan and, you know, they're making more. He said they may even do another trilogy, even though there were reports they wouldn't. I would personally love to see these characters back.
Yeah.
I mean, with the success of The Mandalorian and now with the hype over Obi-Wan on Disney Plus, I'm wondering if Disney's not going to discontinue that route. Mm-hmm. I'd be interested in seeing, you know, because obviously the failure of Solo is not helping the spinoff, you know,
brand
potentials. Yeah.
Well, I think the Disney just isn't brave enough. They really should have used the spinoffs to be different type of films. The main movie should be your tentpole Star Wars movie where you felt like it. And on the first Mandalorian episode, I was just like, if Solo went hard Arrested Development with Ron Howard narration, it could have been hilarious. And it could have really been a comedy. And Star Wars,
they did do that trailer. They made a commercial with Ron Howard doing that. Which
that's
great.
That's awesome. But I need the entire movie done that way, and The Last Jedi done that way, and this movie done that way. Especially for the cousins kissing, that would just be beautiful.
There's a couple things. I think, like, as we've seen with Star Trek, prequels don't work as well. People aren't just excited. I mean, like, Enterprise was okay, you know, but you know, people want to see what happens after, like right. what happened, you know, after last or Next Gen and Deep Space Nine and Voyager.
Find out in like 30 days.
I'd like to point out that my last appearance on your show, that was my biggest gripe with the franchise, was that I didn't want period pieces. I didn't want prequels. I wanted to know what was happening current day, and I proposed a series that took place current day that answered those questions, and now we're getting one. So
Well, you called it.
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
I guess we just didn't know that Patrick Stewart would be back in for
right.
the ride. I think prequels don't work so well. So, you know, Rogue One did pretty good, but, you know, Solo didn't. But Solo was mired, period, from the get-go. There were so many problems with Solo. That's why Ron Howard was called in to do it. So there was a lot of issues with it.
That's the problem. I think it was trying to lean toward comedy, and Kathleen Kennedy freaked out and was like, no, it needs to feel like Star Wars. And and the spinoff movie should have been like, do a comedy, do a Star Wars rom-com, do a Star Wars spy movie, do a Star Wars, like, any genre, but just in Star Wars. Like,
and it still, Solo still had a slightly different tone to it than the other films, but it was more Star Wars than not.
Right.
Yeah, but they could have like experimented and done different tonal things. There's so many genre of film. Like, they could have done like a detective noir movie in Star Wars. Like, you could do whatever you want with these spinoff movies. Be creative. Maybe they'll like be madly popular.
Well, I would think Mandalorian, I think, has proven that they can do that. I mean,
they can go into that. Yeah.
Well, it's like
people love it.
It's like it's like Mandalorian's like, hey, let's make Firefly, but within Star Wars universe, and that's kind of how it feels. Except I want more crew and more interaction in the Mandalorian.
I kind of thought we were getting that with the last episode.
I haven't seen the most recent one yet.
No, I haven't seen the recent, but I'm hoping they'll get into it.
I'm hoping they'll do that. Hopefully, they'll set it up in season one, and season two will be like a crew, because that would be phenomenal if they had a crew interactions. And because, I mean, Firefly was random things every episode, but you had like the foundation of the crew and their interactions, which made the show wonderful. Mandalorian is a little bit more of that, and they'll be perfect, I think.
Dave, what did you think about this this movie?
Like I said at the top, like I'm super conflicted on this movie. Like, I definitely liked it way more than The Last Jedi, but the bar was just so low. It's just
right. Well, that
I mean, like anything. I mean, I don't know how you can make it much worse. But I also didn't have much hope for it that it could be anything coherent. It's sort of coherent, so which is good. But I don't think this new trilogy did anything for Star Wars other than provide more Star Wars.
They made a lot of money.
I mean, like from a narrative standpoint.
I know. Now, do you think that I think one of the things I was most anxious about going into this film was because they screwed up Last Jedi so much, and they didn't provide any kind of moving forward at all for the storyline. I was anxious to see this film. Do you think because they wrap things up by and large and they answered most of the questions, do you think that will make Last Jedi more palatable at this point, like easy to take?
No, it's much, it makes the Last Jedi much worse, because
you think so?
This movie, I like it because they're basically retconning all the stuff that happened in the Last Jedi, except they retconned one thing that I actually loved about the Last Jedi. The Holdo suicide maneuver was great. Like, oh no, it's one in a million. I'm like, oh come on, that was amazing. And then just downplaying it like it's impossible to do. And so I was kind of, that was the one rat I wasn't crazy about, because I thought that was a brilliant move. But I guess I had to explain why it had never been done before. But still,
by the way, I
just loved it.
I liked that they gave Rose the Jar Jar treatment and just kind of shoved her up
the
side.
They kicked her to the curb so hard.
I mean, like, she wasn't a bad character in the fact that she was a character. It's just that side story did nothing. And I think that story railroaded her character more than her character.
We had a couple characters, primarily Finn and Poe, and even Rey, who had not been explored really yet. Right. And yet they're bringing in side characters, and yet they gave her more of a backstory than Poe got.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, right. I don't know, like, they just didn't know what they were doing in this trilogy. And
we're talking about side characters. Maz Kanata, can someone put a hole in her head? I mean, like,
she's already got two buttholes in her head. Why do you need more?
I mean, like, I understand why she was in the first, you know, Force Awakens, but, like, you know, Last Jedi, it didn't work at all. It was like she was having a firefight and talking to Poe, which Poe technically never met her.
Right.
And then, you know, then she's got all these lines in, like, you know, in this movie. And I'm like, who gives a fuck about you? Would you fucking go away? Like, but, why don't we like you?
She was not that significant. They just kind of gave her a... I think they're still trying to establish her as this old wise character, and that's kind of what she was here, but they didn't... She was relatively useless in this film.
Yeah, and they still never explained... She never told the story about how she got the lightsaber that was lost.
She was Ann Bespin, found a hand clutched to it.
Yeah. Well, but kind of going back to what I was saying, like, the original trilogy told the rise and, you know, the rise and fall of Vader through the fall of the Jedi Order. That was an arc. And then we had episode, you know, 4 through 6, which is the original trilogy, which was the arc of the fall of the Empire. And then they just made and then this new trilogy is that they just remade the Empire and then made the Empire fall again. So, like, we're narratively in the exact same place as we were in Return of the Jedi. So nothing really changed. I really wanted to see a buildup of the Jedi Order. There's nothing. And it's just kind of like, we're in the same place we were 30 years ago. Like, what...
Yeah, you're not telling any new story for sure.
It's stale, and the problem. I mean, J.J. Abrams started the problem that was Rian Johnson, because J.J. Abrams didn't give any solid hints to what was supposed to be happening in the last movie. Rian Johnson just did whatever the fuck he wanted because he had nothing to go on.
I don't know. So, I disagree. I think there's probably a ton of stuff that was written that J.J. Abrams was like saying this what the story is going to go to. And then Rian Johnson says, no, I'm going to scrap that and go my own way.
Which, you know, kills me, too, because the entire cast has come out basically at this point and said they didn't like it. I'm like, why? You're the stars of the film, especially Hamill. Like, I think you probably have some sway here. Why'd you say something back then?
I don't know. But, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, like, sure, in the background, there might have been something written down that J.J. Abrams wanted to do in Episode 8 that he just didn't get to do. But he didn't put it on film. And because he didn't put it on film, that made Rian Johnson able to do whatever he wanted, regardless of what happened in the background. So J.J. Abrams made his own bed that he had to fix because he gave us nothing. They would have hinted at Emperor Palpatine in Episode 7. They would have said Rey was a Palpatine or hinted harder she was a Palpatine in Episode 7. Like, give us something. And then,
the storyline, the first act of the film where they're looking for the beacons, you know, the maps to get to. I guarantee that was supposed to be the entirety of Episode 8.
And also, I kind of feel that maybe Palpatine wasn't a thing, and it was probably all Snoke. And then since he killed Snoke,
they had to
so quickly
shoehorn it in.
Yeah,
they had to find another big bad to put in there, and so that's when they put in Palpatine.
And bringing back the Emperor isn't that big of a deal, because he was always cloning himself in the EU, which is fine, but he wasn't even a clone. He was somehow like the reanimated corpse of Sheev, who died in the Death Star because he was missing fingers and he was all messed up. It's just like,
I heard people complaining because it's like, wait a second, so Anakin was supposed to be the chosen one to bring balance to the Force. He threw the Emperor down the hole, and Luke saved him from the dark side. And people are like, well, that kind of puts a whole thing of Anakin being the chosen one. And I'm like, was he ever the chosen one? Because he was just kind of a shitbag the whole time. And maybe they were just wrong. Maybe just because he was high in midichlorian levels and he was very good with the Force really quickly, maybe he's not the chosen one. Maybe he's just, you know, fucking a psychopath.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe Rey is the chosen one to bring, you know, balance to the Force.
They never expanded on what the prophecy was, and they just like, and then they dance around it in the prequels, and then then Yoda says something like it may have been misinterpreted. I'm like, what may have been misinterpreted? Give us what the prophecy is, you fucker. Just tell us.
That's the thing with prophecies, that you can just read anything into it. That's the problem, too. You know, you can be like, yeah, it's this, and next year it's this, and, you know, 10 years from later it's this, you know?
There's nothing ever really specifically said about the prophecy other than that's a chosen one to bring out. I mean, that's really vague. Like, give us the words.
No, I agree.
Like, what does the prophecy say specifically? Don't give us the vague overtone.
And going back to Palpatine, my issue with them using Palpatine, which again you're probably right, they needed a baddie, and it made sense. But my issue is that they already announced he was going to be in it like months ago.
I mean, his voice was in the trailer. The second one,
I know, and like If they had not at all, if Rey's use of the lightning was the first indication that Palpatine was involved at all, I think that would have been much more effective.
Right, and wasn't this a whole thing? Wasn't Rey conjecture anyways that she was somehow related to Palpatine at some point?
It was one of the theories from right after Episode 7. There was a theory that she was in everyone, and Palpatine was definitely one of the running. And it made a lot of sense that she was a Palpatine, and that's I was actually wanting her to be a Palpatine.
But she kept on going, like when she was in Last Jedi, Luke's trying to train her, and he goes, "You went straight to the dark side."
Yeah.
Right. Because it was natural for her.
In this movie, they say Luke and Leia both already knew she was a Palpatine, so why did everyone ask her who she was? And why didn't anyone tell her sooner? It just...
I think Leia didn't want to bring that up because she didn't want to throw her off. She wanted to just find your own way. Don't take a palp. I think knowing the ghosts of your past. If you found out that your grandfather was
Abraham Lincoln.
No, Abraham Lincoln, vampire slayer. But if you
killed so many of my kind.
Yeah, like if he was some kind of awful person, serial killer, rapist, or something like that, you'd be like, oh my god, am I like that person? There's that haunting behind everything. So, things to think about. Obviously, and to be unshackled from your lineage is sometimes not a bad thing.
Yeah,
and especially if you're related to the Emperor. So, it's like finding out that your great grandfather is Adolf Hitler or Stalin or something like that,
Darn
it.
What was the name of the new droid, the little makeshift dude?
Conehead. I don't remember his actual name.
Yeah, he gave a name towards the end.
Yeah, he did. I forgot
what it was. Was weird that he was in the film? I mean, he didn't do anything, right? He served zero purpose.
He gave him some information. I can't remember what it was right now, but it gave him some information about how to get to Exegol.
There was
something at the very end that he gave him some info.
He reminded me of Forky from Toy Story 4.
Oh my god.
Just a weird, jittery. I don't know. Yeah.
He was like an abused animal or child or something like that.
Yeah.
And, I don't hate that. It's just kind of weird that they throw stuff like that.
It's like, you know what it reminded me of? It was like when in old sitcoms in the 80s, when the youngest kid grew up, they brought in a new baby, in growing pains and stuff. They always ask the show, "Oh, we have a baby." That was BB-8 had already run its course. So let's bring another one in now.
It is a side tangent, but this whole new Star Wars trilogy definitely was throwing, and again, I'm going to say this just as a precursor, I don't have problem with diversity. I don't have problem with, race, religion, sexuality, whatever you want to call it, out there. But it seems like they are definitely pushing things into the consciousness underneath the film constantly.
Not as bad as Last Jedi. I don't think as far as
Last Jedi was really strong with it. Yeah. And I think that's why I turned a lot of people off. But, even that little droid, just saying, oh, this is a poor abused droid, and he's, and he kept, it doesn't bother me, but it's just why are you throwing that in there? What does this serve? I don't know. I don't understand it exactly. This is Star Wars. This is, what are we talking about here? I don't know. Maybe some people feel
different. You have to throw a new thing in that you can make a new toy out of.
Well, 100%. Well,
that's
90% of the reason.
But I gotta kind of a shitty toy. A BB-8's much better. So.
Oh yeah. And I kind of didn't mind that. I mean, I was happy that 3PO got his time. Didn't bother me that R2 wasn't in it much because he's a shitty droid to have on adventure missions. He's not very mobile.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny because R2-D2 totally in this new trilogy almost completely is in the background.
Right.
He gets way more in the prequels, obviously, and then obviously the original trilogy, but I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah.
I kind of thought 3PO's... So they had Chewie's supposed death was quickly resolved. I kind of wish they'd spread that out a little bit more. But again, I think if it was in a different film, it probably would have been stretched out a little bit more. Yeah. And I was kind of surprised that they brought 3PO back from his memory loss. I guess it was a definite Data vibe to me.
Yeah.
That's just all what I could think about was, you know, the new Data or and his
before, yeah.
Before, yeah. But that I kind of felt as if it was, they kind of cheated his not death, but I think I would have been from a story point, I would have been okay with him not getting his memory back.
Right. Like, well, why do we need to bring C-3PO back?
I don't know. Like, they just fake out killed so many people. It's like, oh, let's fake out kill 3PO.
Chewie
first. And then it's like, oh, he's not really dead, even though that was exactly the transport he got on. But no, he won't be dead. Kylo Ren burns up in a ball of fire after Kylo had a crash. No, he's fine.
Right.
Rey dies. Nope, she's fine. Kylo Ren dies. Oh, wait, he stayed dead. I'm surprised they didn't go back and forth resurrecting each other a couple times.
And, just back and forth.
Yeah, just like, oh, no, you die. No, you don't die. You die. Well, but the thing is, like, I hope the resurrection thing is only because they're a dyad, because this is what Vader wanted for forever. He wanted the power to bring people back to life. That was what the Emperor seduced him with, that getting that power to bring people back from the dead. So I really hope that was just a dyad thing and not just a regular thing, because why are these people learning all the stuff Vader could never get a hold of? Or it's just weird.
Well, again, we've established that he was just kind of a dick.
Yeah, not but still, like
not necessarily with the chosen one.
Resurrection was supposed to be some kind of Sith secret. I mean, according to Palpatine, and she just does it.
Well, maybe Rey wasn't totally dead. I'm not dead yet. Maybe she just slightly dead.
Well, they should have both died from having their essence sucked out and restoring the Emperor to life. That was just weird.
Hey, if Princess Bride told us anything, you're dead and mostly dead.
It's like in Harry Potter. They just got some chocolate. They were fine.
Well, they weren't even mostly dead. They were
That's how I...
They were mildly inconvenienced.
Yes. Mildly inconvenienced.
Well, I mean, like, after they're mildly inconvenienced by having their soul sucked
out. Is there no bathroom on Exegol? Come on, people. This is inconvenient.
That's what it seemed like. It was barely
an inconvenience. What are the bathrooms like at Exegol? That's what I want
to
know.
Because he gets thrown off into the hole, but still is able to climb up. I mean, after you had your life sucked and you were basically dead, like, being able to make that climb is something else. This might also factor into Carrie Fisher, I mean, Leia possessing him. Maybe she was just like using his body like a puppet.
Or maybe she put her life force into him or something.
Well, that's what I think. I think she basically transferred herself into him, which is why she sort of died until she
like the ghost. The voodoo Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else, Dave, that you want to talk about this movie that you you sound like you're mildly amused but not totally taken?
It's so weird. Like I said at the beginning, I'm so conflicted. I don't know if I like this movie because it's retconning everything from The Last Jedi, because they retcon so much, and that makes me happy that they're just trying to undo that damage, or whether I like it because it's a good movie, and I'm conflicted on that. I don't know if I like it because it was good, or if I like it just because it was better. It's a weird distinction, but I'm confused, and I maybe need to see it again to come down one way or the other on how I actually feel about the movie. It's definitely way better, but narratively it did nothing for the saga. And I don't know. I read a lot of the EU books, and I'm not like I guess I am disappointed that they didn't borrow more, but I just don't like the Emperor idea of the Emperor being bad to be bad. There's a whole invasion storyline where, like, basically he built the Death Star and all these like world killing weapons because there's a bad guy coming in from another galaxy that Jedi can't touch with the Force. They're not connected to the Force in any way. So Jedi are basically worthless fighting them, except for Jedi are just probably trained as good warriors. So that's the only advantage they have over normal people, is that they're just a warrior. And that it's just kind of interesting that if he was getting rid of the Jedi just because they wouldn't really help the thing, just to give him alternate reasons for doing the bad things he did other than just, I'm evil. Because that's boring and played out. Give people reasons for doing things other than just, oh, I'm bad. I would like a little bit more depth and hints.
Well, the best written bad guys don't think they're bad guys, which is what's always interesting.
Right.
Exactly. Right. Palpatine is unapologetically a bad guy.
I always point to Magneto. Magneto is probably the best. Like, I could, like, I get it. It makes perfect sense to me.
Right.
I think
Kylo Ren from Final Fantasy VII.
I don't know that. But anyways, Kylo Ren, as I mentioned in the last podcast and with Robbie, that Kylo Ren turned out to me, I wish I thought he was a whiny little shit forever, but I finally feel that maybe there's more to his character than I originally thought, and maybe there's more depth to him than I gave him credit for, or the writing of him credit for. Mm-hmm. And this movie really brings that into full light for me. And I think that's where it comes down to, is like, yeah, he was drawn to the dark side. He had, you know, he was trying to be something he wasn't the whole time. He was trying to be Darth Vader, and he just was never going to be Darth Vader.
Round peg, square hole. Yeah.
And I liked that his parents, I liked that Leia and Han brought him back. It was poetic and isn't just, it was,
what all parents want to actually believe they could do.
Right.
When your kids are, you know, smoking meth or whatever else.
Listen to rock and roll.
Rock and roll, rap music.
Oh my goodness. Oh, how about you, Aaron? What are your takeaways?
First of all, I'm sorry if people don't like this movie. I don't get it. It seems like it's just a typical Star Wars movie. I mean, if you can suffer through the prequels, why not like this movie? Honestly, this movie was okay to watch for me. Yes, a lot happened, and maybe it could have been split into two movies for sure. But it worked. J.J. Abrams. For once, I actually think he ended a series or movie in a cohesive manner. I love JJ for all the reasons. I think he's amazing at like introducing characters and making you automatically love them. Watch the movie Super 8. You will love every one of those fucking characters in that. And then the movie falls apart at the very end, the last 20 minutes, half hour. It does nothing for me. But everything else is wonderful. This movie, he did it. He pulled it off. Pulled off the landing there. I liked Rey's story. I don't have a problem that she's Palpatine. I don't have a problem if Rey came from nothing. That was such a weird thing. I don't understand what there was a contention for. Everybody's like, it's okay if she doesn't have any special lineage. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But if she does have lineage, who gives a fuck either? You know, it's like, I don't care. You know, people are, you know, we see tons of Jedi in the prequels. There's obviously people with probably lineage and no lineage. And who knows why it happens? Who gives a fuck? You know, and like everyone's like that last scene with the little kid grabbing the broom and the force, using the force to grab the broom. Everyone's like, yeah, that's genius. Like, why is that genius? It's just a stupid fucking scene of a kid. Yes, someday maybe he'll be the next Jedi or maybe a Sith or whatever. But like in the Star Wars universe, I got to believe that probably one out of 200 people or 500 people have those abilities.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Look at Finn.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Finn, exactly. Finn became force sensitive in this movie. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't get the issue with that. It's just like, it's a mute point. I don't even understand what that was even a thing. Like, just like, it was like, forget about the Skywalkers. Okay, whatever. But,
it's just another reason the Last Jedi just weird. It just felt like an ending with that thing with the kid pulling the broom. It just felt like it was over and it was the middle part of a trilogy, which is partly why it was so off-putting. Cause it just didn't feel like a middle. It felt like an end.
It was over for Johnson. He didn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
He made his movie, and that's all that mattered.
And, you know, with Last Jedi, as I said before, you know, the last episode, I was saying, like, there are some things about it that has to be thought about, is that if they're going to change the Force or the nature of the Force, you know, that was the movie they were going to pivot to however they're going to do movies in the future with the Force. I don't know. I mean, it could be the same way forever, dark and light side, or maybe they'll have some kind of mutation of the Force, like you're saying, Dave, like a gray Force or whatever. Who hell knows, you know?
Well, if they're tired of playing the Sith Jedi thing, let's come up with a new threat, and then the Force is just the Force, and people can use it in whichever way they see fit. Because I never understood why you had to be evil to use lightning. And like I've made this example many times. What if you need to jumpstart a speeder? Here, just shock it. And then, it'll give it some power. I mean, like, why is that an inherently evil thing? It shouldn't be what it is. It should be how you use it.
No, I get it. I totally agree too. And I mean, the Force and the Jedi, the Sith, it's just a transportation to tell the story of what you're trying to do. I agree, Dave, that there, what is the point of all this other than the telling of Rey and maybe Kylo Ren, Ben Solo's story?
It's not even a story. They don't even want to come back, and we're narratively in the same spot that until the Jedi left. So, like, what,
in a couple of years from now, they will come back. Maybe not Kylo Ren, other than maybe an appearance.
Well, but Daisy Ridley says she doesn't want to come back. I think the other actor said the same thing too.
When they offer her a shit ton of money, she'll change her mind. She's young. Don't worry. They all say that.
I mean, from a story standpoint, it makes sense. For her at least, I think Finn and Pope probably have a lot for as far as their characters are concerned.
I agree.
So I could see them coming back. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think they could do a lot of things, but you know, it's. I think honestly, I mean, Peter Mayhew, we lost him as Chewie, right? So
yeah, the last one he played Chewie. Even in the Force Awakens, I think he was co-playing Chewie with somebody else, and then he stepped down after.
With Sven Sorgensen or whatever his name is, a basketball player.
Yeah, I don't know if why do we need to keep on like rolling Chewie out constantly. I don't hate Chewie. It's just like, can we come up with some new characters? You know,
Chewie's biggest benefit was his relationship with Han. That was sure. His, you know, that's why he existed.
Right.
And without Han, he is kind of pointless. I just kind of hope they skip ahead 20, 30 years. There's actually a Jedi Order, and then there's actually some sort of new threat, not just a clone of Sheev Palpatine coming back again. Like, it would just be nice. Like that invasion plotline could be fun. Like, do something different. Like, don't do the Empire, First Order, Last Order, Stormtroopers thing again. Let's do something different. Let's get a new threat. Let's have this.
Well, yeah. Like, what if we? I mean, it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying Borg, but like an outside threat that comes in to their universe and they have to defend it. You know, I don't know. Like, what about like, you know, xenomorph aliens or something like that? I don't know.
Something. Just some kind of unstoppable force, like that you need, like some new threat that's not just the other kind of force users.
Reavers.
Anything. Give us something a little bit new.
We're not going to see anything new in the theaters for a while, and not they're going to play out. I think Disney Plus is going to start. They're going to put in a lot of their eggs in the Disney Plus basket.
For sure. I mean, they're saying it'll be like at least 2 or 3 years before the next movie.
The other thing is this, like I've said this before a couple times, you know, online, and you know, I think I just mentioned it too before. It's like Disney is not there to divide their fan base. You know, whatever they thought was going to happen with Last Jedi, I think they were just like, you know, Rian Johnson, we believe in your vision. And they were like, what the fuck did you just do? Because everyone, like 50% of the audiences hate this movie. So I don't know what the demographics really are, but it's got to be like 50-50 or close to it.
Yeah.
Because there's people who think that's the greatest movie that ever was made. And then other people are like, what is this heap of garbage? So it's definitely.
You know what? A lot of people blame Kathleen Kennedy for just letting it happen.
Yeah.
There's been online rumors that Jon Favreau, well, people want Jon Favreau to take over, you know, as the head of Lucasfilm.
I do.
You know what? So do I. The guy can do. He's had a pretty goddamn good track record.
Yeah, he does.
Iron Man 1 was great. Iron Man 2 wasn't as good, but you know, I mean.
He's been producing half the MCU films too. So
yeah, I mean, it can't be perfect, but I mean, he's done good with his nerd cred. And
Jungle Book, and I mean, technically, Lion King was a good achievement. I mean, it wasn't a spectacular film, but he's proven him. Mandalorian is just knocking out of the park.
Mandalorian's great. Yeah, Jon Favreau is great, and it was really funny. We were watching it with. We're watching some kind of behind the scenes on the Mandalorian I was watching with my fiance Kaylee, and they showed a scene from Friends because Jon Favreau was in a couple episodes of Friends, and she's like, him? And I'm like, yeah, that guy. He's the guy that did the Baby Yoda thing. And she's like, she loves Friends. It's like her favorite thing. So it's kind of great when she can recognize something from Friends. I'm like, yeah, it's the guy, the boyfriend from Friends. He did the Mandalorian and Iron Man and these other things. So when I can relate to things that she recognizes, it's kind of great.
I think Disney's in the business to make money. They're not there to make art films. And it's obviously self-evident, like you're saying. They made Lion King, Aladdin. Don't ever see Dumbo. If you've seen Dumbo, I am sorry.
Oh, that movie looked terrible from the previews. I did not want to see that.
No, it is not even slightly good. I love the original Dumbo. I think it's
great.
It's not. I can't even tell you how bad it is.
You're telling me they Last Jedi Dumbo.
It's worse than Last Jedi. I'm going to say that.
That's harsh.
So my point being is that they're rehashing things, and they're rehashing Star Wars, and they're not doing anything new. Maybe they will in the future, but I mean, they're just trying to get their fan base and make some money. And
right.
I mentioned this years ago to a friend, and I really do think this happening with the buying of all these, IPs and everyone else getting their hands on like Disney and stuff like that. I just think we're seeing all our beloved franchises and things we grew up with are becoming completely homogenized. They have no teeth. They have no meaning behind them anymore. And, the prequels, they pretty much sucked. You know, I know that Lucas was trying to do something there, but he just was not up for the task. He hadn't done a movie in years and years, and he was lost in the idea of a story and the production, but not actually doing a good film.
No, Lucas was just he had too many yes men around him. But his problem was he didn't want to tell a new movie. He wanted to beat Titanic in the box office.
Well, whatever.
And so he was throwing all his money at visual effects. Like if you watched the behind the scenes footage of,
If you're a smart filmmaker, Dave, you know that visual effects will only do so much. You need good acting. You need a good story. That will get people talking about your movie for the rest. I mean, it's tried and true. You know, you can have the shittiest effects.
Lucas also believed his own hype that Star Wars couldn't fail.
Well, whatever.
I mean, it's probably what he was doing. Like, he's like, Star Wars is a sure thing. It blew up way bigger than I ever thought it would. So another Star Wars, doesn't matter what the story is, people will come.
Okay, but that's not my point. My point being is that the world that he built, obviously, yes, prequels are not great, but at least the original trilogy, which is legendary. And everything else you can think of, if you want to talk about Star Trek, if you want to talk about, Doctor Who, if you want to talk about, all these things are slowly getting eaten up by other corporations.
Absolutely.
And they're taking the teeth out of them. They're just making it, nerfed for everybody with bubble wrap. And it's just like, this is just easy for everyone to just get into. It's like, yeah, is it? I don't know.
It's fluff, and it's becoming, it is becoming homogenized.
Jeff said before, it was made for kids, but there was meaning behind it, and that's why people resonated originally with A New Hope and Empire and that stuff. So,
can we also address the fact that John Favreau wants to make a Christmas holiday special?
I think that's wonderful.
You talk about going out of the stepping out of the box.
Oh, Jesus
Christ! I watch that all day long.
that's going to be pretty. Hopefully, it'll be pretty great. I mean, if he's doing it, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Obviously, another misstep by Lucas.
Oh wow, but yeah, I mean, I agree about the homogenization with you, Aaron, and I agree with you more now than ever, because I know we talked about it a long time ago, because we were always upset that CBS wasn't doing anything with Star Trek, and now they are doing stuff with Star Trek, and it's still not that great. But would it be worse if Disney owned Star Trek? Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
But I think they would miss the whole point of Star Trek, which CBS is still doing it.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, is there anyone out there that would get Star Trek? Like, would any studio work for it? Like, would it work in any studio? Or is everyone lost sight of it and everything's just becoming homogenized, even if the original owners are still working on it?
I don't think there's any smart writers out there anymore. I don't think there's any people that are real thinking people anymore. I mean, maybe there are, maybe there's like a handful, but they're not in Hollywood. And very few.
Or they just are, like we talked with Kipley Brown, all the good ones get swept under the carpet because they're not safe.
Right. Exactly. That's what I mean. They're like, I can't sell this to anybody. I can't sell the script to anybody.
Well, I don't think I can sell it. We just don't know.
Well, of course. I think you could. It's just that they think they can. So the producers go like, Yeah, they're like, I'm not gonna air this. I'm not gonna put this on. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, you know, these things used to challenge us somewhat, and I don't feel like they're challenging us. Last Jedi sort of challenged, but it was such a shitty written story. That's where it all fell down.
But you know, to be honest with you, I mean, I don't expect any of that out of Star Wars, really. Trek, yes. I expect to be challenged. I expect, you know, going back to my previous statement about it, you know, intellectual versus emotional. Yeah, I'm just looking for a fun romp out of Star Wars, really. And yeah. It's just been emotion. And a lot of the emotion comes from nostalgia than anything else.
Yeah, especially now, yeah.
Right. But, you know, I expect to be challenged from Star Trek. That's the point of Star Trek. That was its intent.
Right.
But Star Wars, it's just a... They're like serials, you know. That's all I'm expecting out of them.
Right, right, exactly. And yeah, and that's what you're supposed to have. But I don't know. It's just weird to me. I can't quite put my finger on it. But it's like we definitely got something. The first trilogy that Lucas did definitely evoked something out of the, you know, maybe because it was just nothing was seen like that before, and then he was doing, you know, the whole hero's journey idea, and that touched something with people. But then, you know, we got a prequel about an asshole. And, like, why do I... Honestly, that's I don't understand what anybody likes in those films. I mean, yes, they're eye candy and they're fun to watch here and there, but I don't know. I missed the point on that. And you got a bunch of...
prequel about an asshole. I like that.
Really? But that's what you think about it. Yeah. All these kids grew up with these prequels, and they're like, isn't Anakin wonderful? Get his action figure. Do all these things. Oh, by the way, he's going to like massacre children and then, right, you know, become a dictator and like be awful and be the worst villain in cinematic history. You know, let's emulate him and look up to him. Like, what's the point of that?
He's our hero.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just stupid. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just... overall, enjoyed the prequel trilogy more than the sequel trilogy, only because it was trying to do something different than the original trilogy, whereas the sequel trilogy basically just tried to ape it. And
it definitely did.
And if I want to watch the original Star Wars trilogy, I'll watch the original Star Wars trilogy. I don't care to revisit the new ones.
What bothers me more than anything else with the prequels isn't as much the storyline, which it does, or the bad writing,
bad acting.
Yeah. That's a stem from the... I think if it had a better script, they would have been fine. Is his desire to go higher tech and go more modern and more futuristic with the technology? When that's not what Star Wars was. It was a beater Millennium Falcon. It was people that are dirty and people that, you know, we want something that's been lived in. Nothing in the prequels was lived in at all.
Yeah, yeah.
That took me out of it. That's the single thing that took me out of it. That's why The Mandalorian, and that's why Rogue One, even Solo, that's why they worked to a certain extent. It was because they look more real and more, you know, lived in.
Established. Yeah, yeah. Gotta love that ice cream maker. it's got all the Beskar in it.
I don't know. I think this is... I still think this movie, I think it tied it up nicely. I don't... You know, is it a great trilogy? It's okay. Last Jedi fell down quite a bit. Last Jedi could have been amazing if they had a better script, and they, like, the whole Canto Bight thing should have been completely nixed. I don't even understand what that was about. That right. did nothing to the story, and it just was nothing to watch. You know how they were, you know, doing the hyperspeed chase throughout the universe with the, you know, with the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
That's what they should have been doing with the Rebel fleet and them chasing them constantly, you know.
Exciting action. And I remember saying 2 years ago that it was the slowest high-speed chase ever in a movie.
It's like The Simpsons. They're slowly getting away. I don't know. It's boring. And it was just there's nothing happening, you know. Luke took forever to come into action, you know. I don't know. It just went nowhere. So this is at least a breath of fresh air for me. Yeah. But people are still divided on Star Wars because there are some people that feel like this movie is just purely fan service and there was no story to this whatsoever.
Well, so, you know, it's funny. I find myself, and again, I consider myself a critic. I mean, I do it. I find myself be more forgiving.
Yeah.
As a, because I am a fan, and yeah. I'm aware of that fact. I'm self aware. I don't feel the same way about the prequels, though. Like I don't give them the same leniency.
Right.
I'm not sure why that is, but I get tickled by the reasons that are meant to be tickled by, like the fan services of it, and it works. Maybe I'm a sucker. I don't know.
How did you come out with Last Jedi? I mean, how did you feel about that when you walked away from it?
I didn't think it was a bad film as a whole. I thought it was a horrible sequel.
Yeah.
That's my biggest issue. I'm like, I didn't care that. I mean, I had issues with, you know, a lot of points of it. But overall, I didn't think it was a bad film. It was slow. My issue was that it did not progress Abrams' story, which was the point of the film. What we should have been... it should have been the Empire, and it was not. So that was my biggest issue with it. I didn't think it was a bad film, but I haven't seen it since I saw it the first time, so that should say something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you should. It's on Netflix. You can watch it. That's where I rewatched it, and I came up with some different feelings about it because I did not like the movie at all. But I rewatched it for the shits and giggles, and
right.
I definitely came out with some different feelings towards it, but. It's still not a great movie. It's there's a lot of issues with it. For a Star Wars movie, you know.
Right. I started to watch it like about a week ago. Like I got like 5 minutes in. I'm like, nope. And I watched a 4 minute recap instead on YouTube, and that's all I needed.
Yeah.
You're like, nope. I'm not doing this again.
I did suffer through it again. I watched it at work, and it was so hard. I found more issues with it the second time around.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, this is worse than I remember somehow. But
you can find issues with almost anything, especially even go back to the original trilogy. I'm sure you can find issues all those movies.
I'm sure, but they're more nostalgic for me than anything. But with this trilogy, I feel like they did the DC Universe thing, where they basically were like,
"Hey, Mimic Marvel.
Hey, we need new heroes, but." They didn't earn it. Like, they didn't earn Justice League. They just jumped right to it. Like, really, should have happened in the sequel trilogy, it should have been a Luke Han Leia-centric story. It should have been a real ending of the Skywalker saga instead of, like, the Sheev Palpatine saga, which really it seemed like it was with him being the baddie again. But they should have had a story with your Luke, Han, and Leia. Everyone who was original fan, that's all they wanted, was to see Luke, Han, and Leia on screen together again, and Rian Johnson denied us that. J.J. Abrams also denied us that.
And you're right in that, but at the same time, it would have been a very different film. They would have needed a new cast with them, because I as much as I want to see the three of them together, I don't want to see three 70-year-old actors in an action film.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they should, but the thing is, like, the reason why they went with new characters and they didn't show Luke is because Luke would have overshadowed everyone. And that's the thing. They needed to establish new characters and have them very strong secondaries to the main three characters. They needed to establish that in the first movie and slowly pass the baton to where the point where, yeah, maybe you are killing off some of these legacy characters, but like, let them have a little bit of time together before you kill them off, so they can react to each other's death. And then they're like, "Hey, we're getting old. Hey, you know, something's happening. You know, things aren't, you know, going the way we thought they would, or whatever." Have some kind of slow passing of the torch, so that episode 10 could be Rey, Finn, and Poe, you know, going full force on their own adventure. Like, they didn't earn that. Passing, they just took it, and then Jay just like stomped on the old characters who they calling it the Skywalker saga, but the Skywalkers were so minimalized in this trilogy. It was like, is it the Skywalker saga?
Yeah, they really were. You're right, especially this film. It was the least Skywalker-esque.
Is it? And like in I keep saying this movie ends the same way episode 6 did. So I'm like, that was the end of the Skywalker saga, really? I mean,
I think they call it Rise of the Skywalker because obviously Luke comes back from the dead, it's a Force ghost, and Rey says she's Rey Skywalker. But I also think too, there was like a call to say, "Hey guys, you can come back in now. We're not
right.
This isn't Rian Johnson shit anymore."
You know, until she called herself Skywalker, then I saw it as Ben. Return.
Oh, that's the point. Nice. I didn't put that connection, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like they didn't earn it, and the whole thing was done wrong. And I had lots of debates with some of my friends at work, and one of them, he was just like, maybe they just had to rush it out because they spent all this money on it. So they didn't even do much pre-planning. They just needed to get something out to start making that money back. And so it didn't matter what they put out. And
right.
It's kind of a good point. I mean, like, because there was obviously no plan, just the way this trilogy went. It was like seat of the pants every single time.
One of the theories I'd heard, which I wish they had followed through with or had gone with, was the Rise of Skywalker was going to be a new they would take over as Jedi. There'd be no more Jedi, but they'd be Skywalker to be the new, you know. And going to what you were saying, that instead of having no dark side, no light side, just
Skywalker,
the Skywalker, right?
Right. Oh, that's the term for Jedi. That would have been cool. Right. I mean, like that would be, who knows? Maybe they'll go that way, but we don't know
in the future.
No, episode 10 has to be Lando hitting up that X Stormtrooper, right?
Yeah, he's going to be banging her.
Yeah.
So, oh, yeah.
You old smoothie. Yeah.
It's going to be like Hugh Hefner in the Playboy Mansion. It's going to be gross.
It's going to be gross. Guys, anything else we want to say? Let's wrap up this conversation. I think
I'm good. Well, I think I got out most of the points I've been thinking about for the last several days since the movie been out.
Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation about The Rise of Skywalker. If you have different thoughts or if you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can tweet at us at Synthaholic Duo. You can join the Facebook group. We have a lot of Facebook groups and a lot of people, you know, talk about what they think about all sorts of topics, including our episodes at Facebook /groups/ Synthaholics. Please join us there. As always, you can, if you find this show valuable, please go to our Patreon Synthaholics. You can give us a couple bucks that way. It helps support the show. And as always, if you know somebody who's interested in Star Wars, Star Trek, any sci-fi stuff that we talk about, stuff like even Event Horizon, tell your friends, tell your classmates and family, share the show. That's a great way to support the show as well. Jeff, why don't you give them all the information you can contact for your site?
I appreciate it. Thank you. It's filmdumpster.com. Facebook is Film Dumpster. Twitter is Film Dumpster. Instagram is Film Dumpster. We are rebranding. We will have a new name soon, with a slightly tweaking our focus. But we're really excited about that. Again, go to Film Dumpster Facebook page and join, like, and share our contest for that poster.
Yeah, definitely do that.
Thanks for having me back on, guys, and I look forward to coming back to talk about Picard.
Probably late January, early February at some point.
It's going to be awesome.
I think we'd be good to have you on, like, in the middle, so we can, like, not just be on the first episode. Like, hey, what do you think of the one?
Maybe right. We can
get you somewhere in the middle.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. That was a movie.
Oh, that was. it was a 2-hour mark there, just about.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, hey, we're under the 2-hour mark. That's short for our Star Wars recaps. Those are usually go almost 3.
Yeah,
those gone long before.
Well, yeah, it was cool. Thanks for putting up with my bullshit.
Oh no, it's fine. I'm glad you got us worked out, at least for now.
Yeah,
thanks. Well, by next week, I'll have a new modem.
That's right, Santa. Being kind to you.
Vroom, Santa vroom.
Is coming to town.
Good old Bye, John. Thanks for having me on. I'm going to hit the hay. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, take care. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.